Okay, I think it's recorded. It's not. So after Yaakov Avinu has the dream, right? Or maybe while, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing over him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the Lord. I am the God of Avram, your father, the God of Yitzchak, and the land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your children, and your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. Uferatz the Yamavakema to find of Anegba, the famous Lubavitch Nigan, and you will, right, you will gain strength westward, eastward, northward, and southward. The Nivrachu V'cha, and through year there will be blessing. Kol Mishpachos Adam Mama, every, all families of the earth, V'zarecha, through you and your seed. Yaakov experiences an unbelievable prophecy while sleeping. Hashem shows him the ladder with the angels going up and coming down. And he makes a promise to Yaakov. Hashem says that the land he's lying under, and one of Chazal say God sort of folded Eretz Yisrael under him for I don't know how long, was going to be his inheritance and belong to he and his children. And he would have descendants, as many as the dust of the earth, and they would spread out everywhere in the world, to the four corners of the world, and through their existence throughout the world, they bring blessing to all the world. Now, Aaron Lewin, in his Rush Ha'iyah, says that B'nai Yisrael are now compared to three separate entities. Right? They're compared La'afar, to dirt, L'chayel, to sand, to La'koychavim, and to the star. And he wants, and he does, describe each of these symbolisms. He says, when you talk about a star, each star...
Pick up the newspaper.
And like you away from another... Stars travel in orbits, and sometimes they come close to another, and sometimes they get more distant from each other. In effect, every single star is its own separate entity that has an individual existence. He says when Klal Yisrael is divided, there's no unity, he says each individual will go out and attempt to do what each individual thinks is correct and doesn't take note of others, and that's how we're compared to stars. So we get 10 million separate entities. He says the next level up is sand. He says we see the sand lying on the seashore, and each grain is next to each other. But you can lift up and you can have certain grains of sand separate. They can slip through your fingers. Sand, again, is not one unit. It's several individual particles. Each grain is somehow a separate entity. But they can be fused together in some way. We know we can put water on them and they stick. And He says the reality of the Jewish nation is that we have times of unity when we have a common cause. But we're subject, just as sand when it dries can separate again, we're also subject to becoming, right, disunited. He says, he calls this solidarity, but not unity. We get together when we need to. Then he wants to talk about dirt. And he says, when you take a clump of dirt, right, it becomes one unit. And we know that when we want to dig dirt out of the earth, right, we've got to shove a shovel down, and it's not easy work. And we don't get one little piece. We get connected pieces. He says, dirt has a tendency to be united. Every particle somehow is connected to the other. And he says, this is the perfection while you grow up, to have this stickiness, to have this connection, right? And he then says, Golas has been long. We're in Golas now for over 2,000 years. And we've been thrown from one country to another. And unfortunately, Klal Yisroel has experienced tragedy after tragedy. And we keep learning and keep being taught that the only way to survive is with unity. And there are times we have the recognition that being separate is our downfall. He quotes, this is Rabbi Losner again, he quotes from Amos, right? And he says, the earth was founded on agudot. And we know agudot means a group. A man lifted a pile of twigs and tries to break it. He finds he can't do it. But if he yanks out one twig, he can snap it in two. He says, when we have sinas sina, which we're told caused the second korban, we become one twig. We're prone to be broken. We're prone to be fragile. But when we willingly join together, we become, in effect, safe from breaking. The Pasuk further says, he says, if we are like dirt, dirt gets blown all over the world. But even though dirt can get blown around, we can pick up dirt in one country and move it to another, like, quote, we call those precious minerals, etc. The internal nature to stick to another piece of dirt is important. He says, God gave Klal Yisroel, we would say, this dirt-like internal characteristic that we can readily add to one another, join. Stars and sand, right, at lower levels, they can still have bracha, right? But a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to shower bracha on a connected Klal Yisroel. But the other thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want a homogeneous number of Oivdei Hashem. He says, we don't all have to be alike. We don't all have to do the same thing. He quotes from Emet LeYaakov of Yaakov Kamenetsky, who says that the word sholem means having different parts that come together. We are each a different star, he says, in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's universe, the star being our ability to shine. But we have this tremendous innate characteristic that we can get together. We have to stand side by side and leave room for every individual to be independent, to do, right, what is al pi halacha, but which interests them. I want to be an artist. You want to be a builder. You want to be an engineer. Do so. But the biggest bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, above all, I am putting into Klal Yisroel an unbreakable bond, and teaching us that we have to be united to be successful.
I don't see an unbreakable bond in your contacts. Who do you want to call?
Good night, Siri.
Night.
What a surprise that was.
You have another listener.
Remember when Yaakov, came to, right, the place where Lavan lived, he saw the people. He encountered, I guess, people, right? And he said, my brothers, where are you from? And they said, we are from Choron. And then he said to them, the day is still long, and you're all sort of hovering around this well, right? Why don't you basically just pass, give your flock the water they need and go out into the pasture? And they all said, it's much too heavy. We need a tremendous number of people to lift the cover off. And we know Yaakov does it, 1, 2, 3. Yaakov has now encountered a group of shepherds gathered around this well with the very heavy top. And he begins talking to them. And somehow he's bothered by the fact that they seem to be almost, you would say, wasting time, and that they can't get on with it. And, right, and they explain this to Yaakov. Right? One would say, what did Yaakov Avinu do? He's new on the scene, and he's already telling these guys how to behave. Isn't that quite unusual? And we would normally have expected them to say, hello, who are you? Who are you to criticize? You've been here 10 minutes, and now you've already assessed what's important. Instead, they listen to his question, they reply respectfully, and it's surprising because these were Lavan's neighbors. Lavan had a reputation which wasn't the nicest, and I guess one could say, did he choose a spot like Lot did, where, birds of the feather flock together? And were these people possibly not the finest mention in the world? And yet, they listen to Yaakov Avinu, they answer respectfully, and they answer his other questions. So the question is, what inspired them to treat the questions as bona fide and answer? The Ponovitcher Rav, in a sefer called Yagdil Torah, said the secret was that Yaakov's words, they listened. He said, "Achai, my brothers." He says, he treated them as if they were important people. He gave them respect. He gave them affection. Right? And they realized this is unusual. I'm sure most people who walked into town didn't use that type of wording. The words made them feel like, here's someone who cares. He's really interested in improving a situation, right? And when that's the case, we're more readily willing to listen to the message. It's the attitude. We're told that the Ponovitcher Rav had the koya, the ability to bring people towards him who were distant from keeping mitzvah, and interactions with him led them to begin to do more and more mitzvah, and they found their way back to Yiddishkeit. And people asked, how does he do this? What is it? And they said, everyone knew the Ponovitcher Rav spoke with love. He had love for every single Yid. He didn't judge where they were at that time in their lives. He just invited them to be friendly. He cared. You could say he was much like Aaron, right? Aaron HaKohen, right? Who fostered love and peace naturally. The Parsha tells us how Yaakov married Leah, and then Rachel, how he was cheated by Lavan, and how Leah is the first one to give birth. She has Reuven, Shimon, Levi, three. And she said, we know that Yaakov Avinu is going to have 12 sons. He has four wives. 12 divided by 4 is 3. Baruch Hashem, I have now received my share of children. And then she has Yehuda. Yehuda, right, was in her calculation an extra child. Yehuda is also the name for Jewish people, Yehudim. That's who we identify ourselves with. Yehuda is a Malchus. And Yehuda was the great, 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 great grandfather of Moshiach. And it says, when she gave birth, the Taharoid, again the fourth time, the Talid name, she had a son, the timer, she said, Hapam Oide Es Hashem. This time I am going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al Kein Kora Shema Yehuda. That's why she gave him the name Yehuda. From Moedim Hoidu, thanking. And she now stopped giving birth at this stage. She gave a special acknowledgement to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this stage. And the Gemara says, surprisingly, Leia was the first person to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all the Mephoshim say, can this be? Didn't Avram and Yitzchak thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, express gratitude? Right? The Gemara in Shabbos says, if someone says Hallel every day, it's as if it's blasphemy. People say, we're talking about Tehillim 136, Hoidu Hashem, which is known as Hallel HaGadol, the Great One, which thanks Hashem. And the question is, what pray tell is wrong with thanking Hashem for a myriad of prophets daily? The Ksav Sefer writes, we really should be thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every neshama. We say Nishmas Kol Chai on Shabbos and Yantar. And if you said this pasuk, doesn't that indicate that you're recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in each and every aspect of the world, in every miracle in the world? And we know we say Moedim, right, every day in the three Shmon Esrei, and then we have to say it again, repetition, because we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't have somebody be a shliach for you to thank Hashem. That's why we say Moedim D'Rabbanan. And when you look at the wording, you see something very interesting. We talk about the great things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does day by day. He says, Hoidu highlights the aberrations, the wonderful miracles HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. You could say the exceptions to Teva, the natural order. It's not thanking Hashem that the sun woke rose this morning, that the flowers give off fragrance, that as the brachas we say in the morning, we can open our eyes, we can walk, etc. And the Kesav Sefer says, since this Hallel talks about the wondrous, extraordinary items that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, it's not appropriate to say day by day, because we have to have appreciation for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does daily. Until Leia, everyone praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Torah records it in respect to non-everyday occurrences, wars, right? Other things like that.
Something more like a miracle.
Right. The miraculous, the extraordinary. Because that's the way they lived. Leia, when she had her fourth child, said, hold on, I now realize that the mere fact that babies are born daily is a miracle. The fact that gravity exists is a miracle. Why should I throw something up and it comes down? Right? She said she was the first one to have a special realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's daily Hashgacha Pratis, that there is no such thing as Teva. There is nothing natural. She was the first one to make a point of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the everyday existence, saying there's nothing natural about it. They tell the story, right, of somebody waking up for the first time in their life, and he sees a farmer dropping something into the earth, and he says, "What's going on?" He sees the farmer fertilizing and putting on water, and then he sees something grow. He says, "This is a miracle. How did this happen?" We've become so used to regularity that we don't realize, right?
We take it for granted.
We take it all for granted, right? Leah was the first one not to take day-to-day living for granted. To appreciate what we would call mundane, right? Right? Is to realize it's all my thing, he said. Right? There is nothing that has to happen. And that's the message for Yekal Yisroel. We have to realize that everything is Minashomayim. And that's why Jews are called Yehudim, after Yehuda, whose birth was the expression of the existence of miracles, b'choyim, as we say in Moedim, right? Akol nifleisecha sheb'choyim imanu, all the miracles daily, morning, afternoon, and night. Okay? Alrighty. Have a fantastic day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gary.
Kol tov.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
All the best.
See you tomorrow.